To worship at First Presbyterian Church, a special welcome to visitors who are with us this morning. There are some announcements in the bulletin, and there are some announcements that are not in the bulletin. After worship today in the fellowship hall, you'll have a chance to stop at the table as you come in to fellowship hall to purchase a dinner for Dad that the deacons are selling. This isn't actually food. There's information about it in the bulletin. This goes to support my brother's table at the Salvation Army, which incidentally the deacons are serving this evening. So you'll be able to purchase those tickets both today and next Sunday in honor or in memory of your dad or someone who was like a dad to you, or just anyone. There are other announcements in the bulletin. Tonight marks the start of the summer Sabbath series that you have received information about. That is at 7 p.m. We'll be meeting in the gathering room. If you're interested in participating in this, it's a six-week session spread out over the summer, 2 weeks in June, 2 weeks July, 2 weeks August. You're welcome to come. Please let me know if you are able to come. Day camp begins this week. The Crislin Traveling Day Camp will be at Second Pres. It's a joint effort between both First and Second. And there's also information still in the fellowship hall if you are interested in that. There are other activities and events going on this week in the life of the church. So you are aware, I will be traveling at the end of this week to St. Louis to attend the 223rd General Assembly. I'm a commissioner from Carlisle Presbytery, so I will be gone Friday until next Saturday. Next Sunday, Tom McKinnon, a retired pastor, will be here to preach and lead worship, and I hope that you will welcome him and make him feel at home, since this is now his home church. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice together and be glad in it as we worship God. Please stand as we worship God together. This place for us is holy ground, where we sing songs of praise to the Lord and repeat the stories of faith that inspire us to respond to Christ's love. God called us here. Let us worship God. Thank you. proof of God's love is this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more surely, now that we have been justified by his blood, will we be saved through him. Because we have faith in Christ, we dare to approach God with confidence. Let us therefore pray together. Holy God, in the light of your holiness, we see ourselves as we really are, and we are ashamed. We confess that we are people of impure thoughts and unclean lips. We think too highly of ourselves and too little of others. We cling so tightly to the treasures of this world that we cannot open our hands to receive blessings from above. Our feet follow the paths of sin. We wander so far astray that we become strangers to righteousness. Forgive us and set us again on the path that leads to life. Deal with us not as we deserve, but according to your mercy, not because we are worthy, but because you are gracious. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old life has gone, a new life has begun. Friends, hear and believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Amen. Just as God has forgiven us in Jesus Christ, let us also forgive one another and offer signs of peace and reconciliation. The peace of Christ be with you. As God's people forgiven and freed, we gratefully turn our hearts and our minds and our attention to God's word as it is read and proclaimed this day. Let us pray together. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. So, Miss Debbie isn't here today, and because Miss Debbie isn't here, no kids are here. It happens. I was going to talk about shoes, which I felt imminently unqualified to talk about in the first place, because I have 3 pairs of shoes and Debbie has 300 pairs of shoes. She is much better qualified to talk about shoes than I am. So I'm going to be quiet now and sit down, and Fred's going to come read the first lesson.
Our first lesson this morning is taken from the book of Matthew, the 16th chapter, verses 24 through 26, and can be found in the Pew Bible on page 18. Then Jesus told his disciples, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life?" The word of the Lord.
The second lesson is from Exodus, continuing our look at Exodus this summer as we go through this important story about the founding of God's people and their establishment as a people. Exodus chapter 2, starting at verse 23 and continuing through chapter 3, verse 15. This is the story how God hears the cries of his people and calls Moses to be their leader. Listen again to God's word. After a long time, the king of Egypt died. The Israelites groaned under their slavery and cried out. Out of their slavery, their cry for help rose up to God. God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God looked upon the Israelites, and God took notice of them. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up. When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. He said further, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the country of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The cry of the Israelites has now come to me. I have also seen how the Egyptians oppress them. So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? He said, I will be with you. And this shall be the sign for you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God on this mountain. But Moses said to God, If I come to the Israelites and say to them, The God of your ancestors has sent me to you, and they ask me, What is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. He said further, Thus you shall say to the Israelites, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, Thus you shall say to the Israelites, The Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever. And this my title for all generations. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The Bible is filled with hundreds of diverse images and descriptions for God. Some of them are familiar. We use them all the time, and they're easy to recognize: rock and king and shepherd. But there are some that you perhaps have not heard before. God is called the High Tower and the Great Physician and the Lion of Judah. If I asked you to think about an image for God, to think, for instance, about the image of God that you use when you pray or when you read the Bible, what might it be? What is the image in your mind? Most of us rely on only a handful of these traditional, well-known images, rock and king and shepherd. And there's nothing wrong with that. Those images are comforting and familiar. But we also must recognize that they're only one small part of the way that God describes himself. Frequently, we're tempted to think of God, especially God the Father, within the context of the Trinity, as a sort of kindly old man with long flowing hair and a long white beard. And he's sitting in some heavenly rocking chair, not exactly looking stern, but not exactly smiling either. He's sort of like a grandfather that you know you're supposed to love and respect, but who is really hard to talk to. He's quiet, not all that active. He just sort of sits there and occasionally yells at the neighbor kids to get off his lawn.
Anybody ever think of God that way? When we think of God as an old, inactive man, we're not doing ourselves any favors. Because the images of God in Scripture describe God in a very different light. Sure, we hear God described as the Ancient of Days, but God is also called the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. The prophet Isaiah at one point even likens God to a woman who is crying out in labor pain as she brings forth new life. The way God is described in the Scriptures gives us this wide diversity of images, and it plainly tells us that God is not some remote, distant old man sitting in heaven all by himself, but that God is indeed very active here in this world and in the lives of his people. That's easy and plain to see in this morning's Scripture reading from the book of Exodus. The story picks up from last week when a new king had settled onto the throne of Egypt. A new king, we are told, who did not know Joseph and did not know all that Joseph had done for the kingdom of Egypt, how he had saved not just his own people, but the people of Egypt in time of famine. And this new king, we found out last week, was afraid of the Hebrew slaves. So he began to oppress the people, and he made them work even harder than they had ever worked before. And then he ordered that all their male babies born of Hebrew women should be killed when they were delivered. And we saw how people resisted, how the midwives, Shifra and Puah, resisted that. And how God's people didn't just survive, but how they thrived and grew stronger every day. This morning's text tells us that eventually that new king, who didn't know Joseph, became an old king. And like old kings do, he died. And another new king came to the throne, another new king who didn't know Joseph. And things didn't get any better for the Israelites. They continued to groan under their oppression. They continued to cry out to God for help. And God responds. God isn't just sitting up there in some remote rocking chair, watching things unfold. God gets involved. He reacts. He responds. He becomes deeply involved in the lives of his people. Listen to these verbs where God is the subject. God heard the groaning of his people. God remembered his covenant with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the ancestors of these people. God looked upon the Israelites. He saw them. And God took notice. He knew what they were going through. The thing that always strikes me about this passage and about Exodus in general is the fact that God responds. God reacts to his people and to their cries for help. The creator of the universe, of all that is seen and unseen, actually deeply cares about his people, this small group of people who have been enslaved in the land of Egypt. And not only does God care about his people, but God becomes involved in the lives of his people. God becomes involved with them. He leads them out of slavery and into the promised land. As this story of Exodus will continue to unfold, we will find God not far off giving directions to Moses on the ground, but that God is with his people, leading them in the pillar of cloud and fire. God feeds them with manna and quail. God gives them the laws that they are to live by. God is with his people, actively involved in their lives, like a parent caring for a child, teaching it and helping it to grow and to be strong. The verbs in this passage, the verbs where God is the subject, have been on my mind this week. I've been thinking about how God is so active in this story, hearing and remembering and seeing and knowing. And I wonder how we might think about this in our own lives, how we might think about this in terms of our own faith. What does it mean? What does it mean to you that God hears you when you pray? And what does it mean that God remembers you and sees you and knows you? Think about these verbs because they are incredibly intimate. To hear someone, to understand them, to be able to respond to them, to remember someone, to know that person's history, to know who they are, where they've come from, to see someone, to take notice of them, to know not just what that person looks like, but who they are and what their situation is. This is what God is doing. This is how God is. This is how God interacts with his people and becomes involved in their lives. God sees and hears and knows. God responds and God reacts. God is active, not sitting up there somewhere quietly whiling away the days. God actively involved with his people. Not just here in Exodus, though it is plain to see God is active in the lives of his people here, but throughout all of Scripture, God is involved with his people. When Jesus came to earth, he was born the same way all the rest of us are born. He was one of us, God's own Son, the only begotten of the Father, who's come to live among us fully and completely. Not just partially human, but fully, completely human. He put on flesh, and in the words of one translation, he moved into the neighborhood. You don't get much more involved in human life than that. Living among us, not separate, but right there with us. Jesus didn't stand off to the side, directing his disciples, telling them what to do from a distance. John, you go over there. Peter, over there. No. Jesus was with them, leading them, teaching them. He was down in the ditches of life with them, experiencing the full effect of what it means to be a human being. Jesus knows. Jesus knows what we go through, our sadness, our joy, our pain, our suffering, every emotion, every experience. He has had it, and he can sympathize with us. And now, even today, after his death and resurrection and ascension, Jesus does not leave us on our own. God is still with us by the power of the Holy Spirit, calling men and women to put their faith and their trust in him. This invitation to discipleship is not easy. It's an invitation to deny ourselves and take up the cross and follow Jesus. It is an invitation not to find ourselves, but to lose ourselves
in order to be found in Christ. It is an invitation to death, to put our old life to death and to embrace the new life that Jesus offers us. When we are on our own, when we are left to ourselves, we cannot save ourselves. We cannot save our own lives. No matter how hard we try, no matter how many deals we try to make with God, only Jesus can save us. And he can only save us by his death and resurrection. And we are invited to participate with him. Those who want to save their life will lose it, Jesus said, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. To lose one's life is scary. Many good people are terrified of facing their own mortality. They don't want to talk about it. It's far off, or maybe not, but I don't want to talk about it anyway. But trusting in Jesus means we aren't lost. It means that we've been found and welcomed and clothed and fed. It means there is a place at the table for us. It means there is a king who knows our name and who gives us peace beyond our ability to comprehend. The call to discipleship is our own personal invitation to leave Egypt, to escape the power of sin and death, to be led out of the old life and into the new life by God our Savior. Out of Egypt, out of slavery, and into the promised land. God knows our needs. God hears and remembers and sees and knows, and God is intimately acquainted with what we are going through. And he is ready to lead us out of our Egypts, the places where we have been living in misery. But we must be willing to follow and not look back. For the future is far better than we could ever imagine. It is that willingness to follow and to trust God instead of ourselves that often causes us to stumble. We like to think that we are experts on ourselves, that I know what is best for me, instead of God knowing what is best. Moses was certainly tempted to think that way. God speaks to Moses out of the burning bush at Mount Horeb in the wilderness, and God calls Moses to do something that Moses never thought he would have to do, to go back to Egypt and to lead his people, the Hebrews, out of slavery. God says, out of the burning bush, I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry. Indeed, I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them. But Moses isn't so sure about any of this. He doesn't think he has the right stuff, the right credentials. He doesn't think he's qualified to do this. He doesn't think the people will believe him. He thinks they will want to know God's name and 1,000 other excuses. Who am I to do this? Moses asks God. Who am I to do this? And God responds, I will be with you. I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God on this mountain. I will be with you. Those are God's words.
Who are you? Well, it doesn't matter, because I will be with you, God says. Who are you? Well, you are God's beloved child, called by name and redeemed at great price, and I will be with you. Who am I? We ask. Who am I? And God says, you are mine. You are mine, and I will be with you always. God is here with us today, this very minute, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And God is with us as we go out from this place into our lives. And God is leading us if we just open our eyes and our hearts and our minds to see and to know and experience God. The triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is with us. And Jesus invites us to come to this table, to taste and to see that he is good, and to trust and believe that God hears us and remembers us, that God sees us and knows us, and most importantly, that God loves us this day and every day. Amen. Let us pray. Who am I, we ask, O God? Who am I? Help us to hear you say that you are mine, that you are loved, and that I will be with you. Help us to hear those words, O God, and to know that you are with us, actively involved in our lives each and every day. Amen. God's people, let us affirm what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead.
He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. This morning, as we go to God in prayer, I'm pleased to let you know that, if you don't already, Debbie Madden's surgery went very well this week. She is home and recovering. The doctor was very pleased and said she is healing well. So please continue to pray for Debbie and for her continued healing, that she will be back among us as soon as she feels up to it. Let us go to God in prayer. Eternal God, you are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. You existed from all time, before time itself, and you spoke us into being. We are your people. And sometimes we forget, O God, that we are your people. Sometimes we try to take over your job for you. Or sometimes we forget, O God, that you are part of our lives. Help us, O God, to remember that you are active in our lives. Help us, O God, to look and to see and to hear and to remember that you are present, just as you look and see and hear and remember us and know what we go through. Lord, on this day, we come to you and we give thanks for all the ways that you have blessed us, that you have given us freedom and prosperity, that you have given us a place to live and the ability to gather for worship without fear. We give you thanks for all these blessed freedoms, the freedoms that have come from you, that have been purchased for us. And we give you thanks, O God. As we come to you this day, O God, we most give you thanks for the gift of your Son, for the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in turn gives us life. Help us, O Lord, to embrace this life, to embrace this abundant life which you have given to us. Help us not to forget it, O God, to put it aside, to think that it will be there later, but help us, O God, to embrace abundant life now and live as your people, as the people you have called us to be. Lord, on this day, we come to you praying for so many concerns, for our world and for our country. We pray for the leaders of this nation and all nations to seek you, O God, to seek your will, to hear your voice, to know what you are calling us to do. We pray, O God, that all of us would be able to set aside our own hopes and dreams and fears and our own ambitions and to seek you, to know you, and to do your will. As we gather this day, O God, as a community, we pray for those among us who are in need of your healing touch. We pray for those who are recovering from surgery, especially Debbie. We pray for those who are traveling. We pray for those who are not here. Lord, in everything, we trust. We trust that you are with us. Help us, Lord, to live as we believe, trusting and knowing that you are with us each and every day. In Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray, trusting, knowing that you lead us and that you are with us, as your Son taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now we have the opportunity and the privilege to give back to God a portion of what God has given to us in this life. Will the ushers please come forward? Together, let us pray. God, you are ever faithful. We long to be faithful givers. modeling ourselves on you who has given everything to us. May your spirit of abundance, which gives more than we ask or imagine, bless these gifts for your kingdom. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters, this is the joyful feast of the people of God. They will come from east and west and from north and south and sit together at table in the kingdom of God. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them, and their eyes were opened and they recognized him. This is the Lord's table. It is not my table or your table or even the church's table. This is the Lord's table, and our Savior invites those who trust in him and have been baptized to share in this feast that is prepared for us. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Holy God, we praise you. Let the heavens be joyful and the earth be glad. We bless you for creating the whole world, for your promises to your people Israel, and for Jesus Christ, in whom your fullness dwells. Born of Mary, he shares our life. Eating with sinners, he welcomes us. Guiding his children, he leads us. Visiting the sick, he heals us. Dying on the cross, he saves us. Risen from the dead, he gives new life. Living with you, he prays for us. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with choirs of angels and with all the faithful of every time and place who forever sing to the glory of your name. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. With thanksgiving, we take this bread and this cup and proclaim the death and resurrection of our Lord. Receive our sacrifice of praise. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, that this meal may be a communion in the body and blood of our Lord. Make us one with Christ. And with all who share this feast, unite us in faith, encourage us with hope, inspire us to love, that we may serve as your faithful disciples until we feast at your table in glory. We praise you, eternal God, through Christ, your word made flesh, and the holy and life-giving Spirit now and forever. Amen. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. The Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, took bread, and after giving thanks to God, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink of it, do this in remembrance of me. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the saving death of our risen Lord until he comes again." This morning, we invite you to come forward by the center aisle and to receive the elements by intinction and to return to your seats by the outside aisle. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let the people come. Together, let us pray. Most gracious God, we give you thanks and praise for what you have given us and for what you have promised us in this meal. You have made us one with all your people in heaven and on earth. You have fed us with the bread of life and renewed us in your service. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. May we who drink his cup bring life to others. May we whom the Spirit enlightens give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so that we and all your children shall be free and the whole earth lives to praise your name. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. Return no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak and help the suffering. Honor all people. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and remain with you always. Amen.